that I was living here, when I was actually living in San Antonio, and the missionaries would come up, my two favorite missionaries to hear speak were always Adrian and Roland. Because those brothers were obviously in love with the people, in love with the Lord. But now I think Mike is my favorite. I mean, the guy, he knows how to preach. He loves people. He loves the Lord. And he doesn't use a shotgun when he shoots. He knows exactly where to hit. He has a scope on his gun. So I really enjoy your preaching, Mike. I really do. Before I forget, I would like to thank the people who have taken such good care of me since I've been here. Robert and Debbie Tisman are so generous. I mean, I've told them several times that your generosity is so embarrassing to me. Because those of you who know me know how tight I am. And I was telling Robert and Debbie that, man, I don't think I would be able to do what you do, as generous as you've been. So I thank you guys in public. I know it embarrasses you, but tough. I only do this every 3 years, huh? Okay, I want to thank all of you for your support you've given to me over the years I've been there. It really shames me every month when I get a check, because I really don't consider myself worthy of all of it, or any of it. I want to thank this church for all the training that they've given. When I was first here, the 2 years that I was here, you guys trained me in evangelism that I'd never had before. And I don't think there's any other church I could get it from. When I was at Bob Jones University many years ago, I think I street preached like once or twice in the whole 5 years I was there. So I got a taste of it. Then when I lived in Hawaii for 2 years, I was doing it once a week. But when I came here, you guys really, Randy and Robert Torres, you guys really showed me how to do it. And then going there, over there with Joe and Brent, they beat me up a few times and told me things I was doing wrong. And they helped me out a lot in that area too. The doctrine you guys have taught me, emphasizing the name of Jesus. Now, I'd never heard anything like that before I came here. And I think it's right on. Amen. Emphasizing the Lord Jesus and His name. I went through Bible school, and all those years of Bible school and all that Greekifying that I got, I never got the idea that Jesus' name should be held up as something super, super important. I got that here. The idea of the open meeting. I've never seen anything like that before. It's always been, you know, the one guy in charge, the pastor, and he rules, and his rule is supreme, just like the Pope. But when I came here and I saw how it worked, given everybody a chance to take part in the service. That's something new. That was like a culture shock. But even though the open meeting is a wonderful thing, most brethren and sistren don't take advantage of it. And I don't know, because we're afraid of what people think. You know, I can't get up and do anything. I'm afraid what Joe will think, what Jim will think, what Chucky Poo will think. It's the same way in Poland. Yeah. Even though we have these wonderful open meetings and everybody has an opportunity to try to feed somebody, even if you stand up and read a verse or two, and the children will often make the Polish people, the Polish adults, look sick. Because they'll stand up and they'll say something, they'll ask for prayer, read a verse. But the adults won't do it. But anyway, I learned all that church polity in this church, and I am grateful for that. Now let's talk about some things that, since I've been here, that I think this church could use. Things this church needs to do. We've heard a lot about breaking chains. Brother Mike spoke a lot about that. Let me tell you some stories here. My wife, Beata, probably the best thing that ever happened to me was marrying my wife. She's one of the sweetest women in the world, I think. My wife, Beata, was... her mother and father were never married. Her mother died an alcoholic when she was in her teens. Bata had to take care of her for many years. She was a lazy, no good bum and an alcoholic. She put Bata in an orphanage, and Bata, most of her life she was raised. Most of her childhood was spent in an orphanage. She was basically abandoned by her mama. Her dad and mom were never married, and he'd come every once in a while just to throw some money at the family. He really didn't show any love to her. Bata has told me many times that if she would have stayed at home and somebody had not intervened and got her away from her mother, she might have turned out the same way. We buried Bata's brother a couple years after we were married. He died, he drunk himself to death. Breaking the chain. She could have ended up like that. But a Baptist couple in Warsaw had a heart enough to go to the orphanage and take young children to the church. And every Sunday they went to the orphanage and they picked up a group of girls and maybe some boys, I can't remember exactly. And they took them to church. And eventually Bata, my wife, she accepted Christ as her Savior.
Amen.
And really, she has broken that chain. Mike said that the chain of sin that is so generational, you see it in the Bible. Condemnation, the chain of condemnation, can be broken. And some of us in this congregation have gone through the same thing. I think it was Pastor Brian. Had a rough childhood. Was that right, Pastor Brian? If I remember your testimony right. But the pastor has broken the chain. And now he has boys that are serving in the church, preaching on the street. And they're going the same direction. They're reaching people for Christ. And when Pastor Brian's in heaven looking down, watching his kids and his grandkids, he's going to see this chain of righteousness continue. Pastor Brian broke the chain. And I want to encourage some of you that had the bad background to break the chain.
Amen.
My wife Bata did it. I'm trying to do it. My mother was married 3 times. My mother died of an alcoholic. It wasn't the alcohol that killed her, it was cancer that killed her, but in the end she was an alcoholic. My family is made up of atheists. I thought I was an atheist for many years, but I'm under the impression I'm one of God's chosen. And for some reason, I had a desire, only me in my family. Why only me? God's grace, that's why. For some reason, I had a desire to read the Bible. I tried when I was a kid. I tried to read the Bible a couple times. But when you start at the beginning, it's great when you go through Genesis. But when you get to all those people being begat, I didn't even know what the word begat meant when I was a kid. You know, you close the Bible, you put it back on the shelf, and years later you try again. You start at the beginning of the book again. And the same stuff happened. But why did I do that? God's grace. That's it. Extra grace on me. Undeserved. But the idea is breaking the chain. And God worked, God worked, God worked. And I made a profession of faith when I was in the Navy. Not sure I was saved at that time. Don't exactly know when I was saved. I'm not sure we can know the exact second we're saved. The exact second when we really do believe in our hearts. I don't think we can know that. But I believe I'm saved now. Breaking the chain. I never had an example when I was a kid of a family, mother and father, that loved each other. They hated each other. Bata did not either. And we were worried. We were very worried before we got married. You know, we have no examples. But we really did have examples. We were watching Joe and Deb. We were watching Brent and Janice. We had examples. And these are people that had a family, that had a godly family that we could look at. And they have children that have gone on. Where's Josh? There he is. They have children gone on to serve the Lord. So we didn't have examples. When I was a kid, I had an example too. My grandparents, they were together for 60 plus years of their life before they died. So I did have something. Breaking the chain, it can be done. Amen. It is our choice, especially if we're saved. We've got the Holy Spirit helping us. Many of you have bad backgrounds. Don't go back.
Amen. Amen.
Stay with this church. Mike touched on that this morning. Stay with this church. There's a story that goes like this. Most popular girl in school. I'm sure you've heard this illustration before. Nothing new under the sun. Sorry if you've heard it before. Most popular girl in school. The prom was coming. She was the most popular, of course, because you probably understand. She was how she looked. And all of the boys were scared to ask her to go to the prom. Time went by. Most popular girl in school was checking the calendar. Nobody was asking the most popular girl in the school to the prom. And one day, the most unpopular boy in the school got up the nerve to go to her and ask her, "Would you go with me to prom?" And she said, "Yes, I will." He was shocked. So they all went to the prom. Prom night, most popular girl in school walks in with this guy. And everybody turned and looked. And they were laughing and joking about it. And she was out there dancing with the most unpopular boy in the school. Most popular girl, most unpopular boy. And on several occasions, all the jocks came up to break in to see if they could dance the most popular girl in school. And she would turn to them and say, "I'll dance with the one who brung me. I'll dance with the one who brung me." Some of you have been trained in this church. Some of you have got such good doctrine in this church by an awesome teacher, Pastor Kincaid, Brother Brian, Brother Bill, etc. They've taught you about the open meeting, about the name of Jesus. They taught you about the King James inspired version of the Bible. Yet all around you, you're tempted with all these fancy churches and all their big, reklama, that's Polish, I think. With all their big signs and all their big attractions, you're tempted to take your kids to places like that because you have all these opportunities. Maybe you were led to Christ by somebody in this congregation, by one of the wonderful pastors here. Remember the story of the most popular girl in church. "I'll dance with the one who brought me until the end." Will you leave the place where you were trained so well? Will you go to one of these other whorish churches? Or will you dance with the one who brought you? Things this church needs to do. Forget the past. Forget the past. Go to Philippians. Philippians 3:13. The inspired Apostle Paul said under inspiration of God, Philippians 3:13, "Look closely, brethren and sisters. Philippians 3:13, it says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which were behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus," forgetting those things which are behind, the baggage, the bad stuff in our lives, the things we've done. Several of us here, you know, didn't lead very good lives before we were so-called saved. And those things follow you, man, woman, sister, brother. They follow you. And in the dark times, they come up in your mind. When you're at night, when you're in bed and everything's dark, your mind starts wandering over things you've done in your life. The Scripture says, forgetting those things which are behind, forget it. Just forget it. Several times, Pastor Steve there in Poland says to me when I blow it while on the streets, when I lose my cool with some of these poles. Well, Pastor Brian was with me in the street one time, and some idiot had come up to me and said something stupid, and I wasn't very nice to him. And I went up to Pastor Steve, and I said, "Man, I blew the gift." And Steve says, "That was then. This is now. Forget it. That was then. This is now. Forget it. It's gone." Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth on those things which are before. We've got to forget some stuff, folks. The Bible says that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. From all unrighteousness. We're perfect in God's eyes through the blood of Christ. Totally justified. When He looks at us, all He sees is the perfection of Jesus. And the Bible says He casts our sins as far as the east is from the west, and He remembers them no more forever. So why should we? But I do. Preaching to the choir. The Scriptures say, well, I got a poem for you that might help. I know, you guys love poems. But bear with me, it's a good one. I heard this a long time ago. It was I found this in an article in a newspaper, actually, and I reprinted it off the internet just a couple hours ago. A young woman died of cancer, a very young woman, for no reason. And the parents of that young woman put this in her, I don't know, what do you call one of those things in the newspaper when somebody dies? Obituary. And this poem was in there. It goes like this. "God hath not promised skies always blue, flower-strewn pathways all our lives through. God hath not promised sun without rain, joy without sorrow, peace without pain. But God hath promised strength for the day, rest for the labor, light for the way, grace for the trials, help from above, unfailing sympathy, undying love. Bad times are going to come." And I'm under the impression bad times we're heading in some bad times in this country. This country, I mean, you cannot spend as much money as these idiot politicians that, I hate to go that direction. As much as these idiot politicians have spent and not have any consequences from it, $17 trillion, folks, is unpayable. Bad times are coming. But God has not promised skies always blue. Emphasis on prayer. Turn to 1 Thessalonians 3:10. 1 Thessalonians 3:10. First Thessalonians chapter 3 verse 10, it says, "Night and day praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. When you pray for us in Poland, in Mexico, and especially for me, because my faith is very weak, pray that my faith will increase. If we had more faith, we wouldn't have the problems we have. If I had more faith, I wouldn't have the problems that I have, especially on those streets when I see absolutely no fruit for 14 years. When you pray for us, pray that our faith will increase. Pray for revival. Pray for revival, real spiritual revival, like I spoke of the first time I spoke. Real revival is from above. It can't be worked up by men. It's from above. And the only thing we can do, maybe, to bring it from above is pray for it. Pray for more native workers. You know, it's real fine to pray for more Americans to go in these foreign countries and try to reach these people. But these foreign countries, they need to have their own people preaching to themselves. Why is it the Baptists have been in Poland for hundreds of years? And that when we talk to people about Christ, they automatically call us Jehovah's Witnesses. Why don't they call us Baptists? Oh, you're a Baptist. Because these folks aren't doing anything. That's why our brethren Baptists in these countries aren't doing anything. And that is a shame. When you pray for us on the field, in Mexico, in Poland, pray for more native Christian workers to reach their own people. When I'm on those streets, I'm often by myself. Well, there's three of us, me, myself, and I. Maybe God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit's with me too, but I would like to have something with flesh on. Pray for more workers. Emphasis on prayer. Any of us can pray if you have a brain that works, even though your body may not. Any of us can pray. You know what? If you just pray 5 minutes a day, just 5 minutes a day, that's 35 minutes a week. Just praying 5 minutes a day is 140 minutes a month. Just praying 5 minutes a day is 28 hours a year. Just praying 5 minutes a day is 140 hours every 5 years. And I won't bore you by keeping on doing this. 5 minutes a day builds up, sports fans. It builds up. We need this. The prayers, we need it so much. Because only that has contact with Him above. And if He's not involved in it, it ain't going to happen. If He's not involved in it, ain't nobody going to come. The Bible says that the Lord Jesus leads people to Himself.
Yeah, that's right.
And He ain't doing the leading, ain't nobody going to come. No matter how eloquent your preachers are. Americans, reach Americans. Reach our people. We can't do it from Poland. Well, we're over there reaching the Polish people. We're hoping and trusting you guys to reach our people. You know, I have an affinity towards Americans, my favorite people in all the world, because you're one of me, man. You're part of our family, man. While we're over there, we want people reaching our people here, the ones we really love. The Bible says that this, all of this that we've spoken of, is only reasonable service. You know, Lord Jesus came here, lived 33 years in a terrible area of the world, working really hard as a carpenter, sweating in this hard work, working among people that were filthy, dirty, probably stank because they never took a bath. The Creator of all things endured all of this, and at the last He was beat. He suffered more than any man, being put on a cross, rose again, wonderful. But He had to go through all of that for us. This is our reasonable service. Let's talk about Warsaw. Warsaw is the largest concentration of Polish people in the world. It is over 2 million people and growing. It's the fastest growing city in Poland because that's where the work is. The crisis in Poland is getting worse and worse. More and more people are losing their jobs. More and more people are getting desperate, but people are still moving to Warsaw. It's growing all the time. It has the most places for street preachers in Poland, in my impression. The most places to preach are in Warsaw. Just, I can name 20 good places to preach right now. And we have another subway line that will be open next couple of years. When that next subway line is open, there'll be 10 more places to preach for a street preacher. But outside of me, there's none. There's nobody else. I mean, Little Bull, he comes to preach with me like once a week, if that. And Little Bull is having problems now because his work is not giving him enough money to support his family. So he's desperately going everywhere trying to scrape up more money to support his family. So he often cannot come preach with me anymore. The idea of public evangelism has not caught on in the Warsaw Church. The Poles as a whole, they won't do it. Don't know what it is. Scared of what people think. Polish people, from what I've seen, they really, really, really worry about what other people think. So the idea of getting up in front of a whole lot of Polish people and what they call screaming about Christ. I call it preaching myself, but they call it screaming. And Christians tell me this. They tell me what I'm doing is screaming. But whatever. The idea of doing that is just, let the Americans do stuff like that. That's not for us. So, we need more street preachers, folks. If we really believe that this is a good method for spreading the gospel, and I believe is one of the best. It's not the only way, but it's one of the best, but they're not involved in the other ways either in Warsaw. So we need a lot of prayer for real men, amen, Christian men, to rise up and take the cross and follow Lord Jesus, especially in the era of evangelism. In Warsaw, they really like to hear they really like to hear sermons about how many angels can sit on the head of a needle. They like to be puffed up with knowledge. But the idea of getting your hands dirty in evangelism and putting yourself in danger is a foreign concept. So please pray for the Warsaw Church for more real Christian men to help those of us that are trying to reach the Polish people. It's the same problem in Łódź, by the way, with Corey. And I'm not sure about Torun. Maybe in Torun, Joe and Josh and Brent have real Christian warriors up there. I'm not convinced there are, but anyway, we need more Christian workers. If you pray for more American missionaries to go, pray 10 times more for the native Christians in the different countries to take up the cross and do something among their own. But anyway, thank you very much for listening, for enduring me over the years.